Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. I'm your host, Ben Carson. And I suspect over the last few weeks, we've been wondering what the heck is going on in Russia. You know, we saw the mercenaries marching toward Moscow, and everybody saying, is leadership about to change there? What the heck is going on? Well, we're going to find out today, because our guest today is a former intelligence officer, a national security consultant, the author of the book, Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeating America. We have with us Rebecca Koffler, and she will share those insights with us. Welcome, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. It's such a pleasure to be here with you and your audience. It's really an honor.
Thank you. Well, you grew up, you were born and raised in the Soviet Union, and you came to the United States as a young woman. What made you decide on a career in intelligence?
Well, I was raised by parents who were against the Soviet communist system, and they always wanted me to go to America. So when I came to America, I just really enjoyed the freedom, all of the rights, the liberties, and I had a wonderful career prior to U.S. intelligence in international business and satellite communications. And then after September 11th, I was just shocked, as many Americans, that our country was attacked. My adopted homeland was at risk, and I just thought to myself, it's just a matter of time before, you know, Russia becomes a threat, because the Russians never accepted the fall of the Soviet Union. And so I decided to go and serve as an intelligence officer, having responded to the call of former President Bush, who said that first-generation Americans, you know, those who understand the culture and the languages and how our adversaries think, he wanted us to help the country, and they did.
Now, I got a real delicate question for you. You know, when I was a little kid, I remember Nikita Khrushchev very well. And, you know, he was a pretty forceful guy. And he indicated that the United States would eventually be a communist country, and that they would never have to fire a shot. And I suspect he knew what he was talking about, because if you look at the congressional record for January the 10th, 1963, it talks about the goals of the Communist Party in America. There are 45 of them, and they've accomplished almost all of them. And we seem to be moving in the other direction pretty quickly. And, you know, Khrushchev was a firm believer in converting the world to his way of thinking. Is Putin any different?
Not really. You're exactly correct, Dr. Carson. And this is a very alarming development. In fact, it was always Russia's goal to transform the United States from a free capitalist society into a authoritarian socialist society, just like the former Soviet Union. And in fact, there was a four-step covert influence program that Russian intelligence, the KGB, ran to achieve exactly that. And I described that program in my book, Putin's Playbook. And basically, that's what the Russians do best. You just mentioned in the beginning that everybody is confused right now about what the heck is going on in Russia. Well, that's exactly the point. There's a whole program and doctrine called reflexive control doctrine that is designed specifically to feed to the adversary false information to drive him to the point of paralysis until it starts making decisions counter to his own interests. So Vladimir Lefebvre was the mathematician and psychologist who developed this doctrine, and it is taught in the general staff. And so the program that I talked about that is designed to transform the United States into a socialist country is based on that doctrine. And so they're basically the Russians, but back then, not only they were bombarding the United States with wrong information, just like they do right now, they also infiltrated their own agents into universities, and then those, you know, ideas just flourished and took off like wildfire. And right now, it's not just at universities, at the level of schools and high schools, and pretty much, you know, most, I think research shows that most young people believe that socialism is a wonderful system, that you basically don't have to work, that somehow everything is going to be given to them. And that's what the Soviets always wanted, and Putin wants as well.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, we sit there and we gloat saying that we won the Cold War, but there's a much bigger war going on here. And I think we're being played. And I hope people will get your book and read it and begin to understand some of these forces and why these things are happening. You know, we think, maybe this is just the way things are. No, these things are planned by people who are very skillful. And, you know, Putin, I wonder about him. Do you get the impression that he will ever tuck his tail between his legs and retreat, you know, regarding something like the war in Ukraine? Or would he rather blow up the world than to do that?
I mean, neither, Doctor. So, well, first of all, it is not in his mindset. It is not his psychological profile to run away, right? There's a piece I think I've written in the New York Post maybe about a year ago about Putin being cornered like a rat, right? There was an episode that Putin describes in his autobiography when he was a teenager. He was pretty much a juvenile delinquent, and he was chasing rats in his apartment building in St. Petersburg. And he has noticed that after he chased the rat into the corner, the rat started attacking him. And so that was a very interesting observation that he made, and he bases his strategy actually often on that. So when Putin is cornered, he fights back. He doesn't want to blow up the world necessarily, but what he does want is he wants to deter the United States from what he believes we are doing is interfering in his backyard. And in order to do that, he did develop a doctrine, a nuclear Armageddon type of doctrine that envisions a detonation of tactical nuclear weapons in the battlefield, right, in order to just shock the opponents, shock the Europeans and the Americans into backing out. There's also another doctrine that is targeting the U.S. homeland with cyber Armageddon, space Armageddon. Yes, there is a doctrine that targets the U.S. with nuclear Armageddon, but he doesn't want to do that. There's an escalation ladder. It can lead to that if the U.S. doesn't get the message, according to the Russian strategist. But we're not there. A lot of things would need to happen before that step is taken. The threshold for that is super, super high. But there is a plan B, right? It's a catch-all type of strategy. And this is exactly why President Biden, remember how he warned us himself that the threat of nuclear Armageddon issued by Putin is real. Well, then why in the world then President Biden is kind of leading up, you know, to that leading us to that cliff, you know, makes our sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, a name that nobody really knew, Prigozhin, until recently. Who the heck is he?
Yeah, so Prigozhin and Putin are kind of like two peas in a pod, right? Yevgeny Prigozhin is, he is the head of the Wagner Group. The Wagner Group is a private military company, a PMC, but it's much more than that. It's not a PMC in the traditional sense that we use. Like, let's say we have Blackwater, right, that Eric Prince founded. I think he renamed it to Academy, but those groups conduct their paramilitary ops. You know, we use them, but the Wagner is an extension of the Russian state. Okay, it was created with specific purpose to do what the Russians called delicate operations. So Prigozhin.
So they can't be hired by another country as mercenaries. It has to be something that's in line with the Russian philosophy.
Well, actually, they could be, as long as it aligns with their, they're actually all over Africa, you know, conducting destabilization operations. As long as it aligns with the mission of the Russian state, it could be. But mostly, they're employed when the hand of the Kremlin needs to be hidden. You know, plausible deniability, right? But before he became the head, the commander of the Wagner Group, he was also a CEO of a multi-million dollar catering business that served meals to the Kremlin. Prigozhin had very humble beginnings, and he started off as a juvenile delinquent. He committed his first crime between 16 and 17, when he beat the woman senselessly in order to steal her jewelry and her purse. So he was jailed, but then after he got out, he really transformed his life and became from sort of a salesman of a hot dog stand all the way to, you know, the CEO of Concord Management. He is also in charge of the so-called Internet Research Agency, which is a cover company for the Russian state, the one that orchestrated, or rather served as an executive agent for Russian intelligence to orchestrate election interference in 2016 in the United States. But just to make it clear, they didn't do it to elect former President Trump, but rather to foment discord and disorder and to pit Americans one against another and to cause this turmoil, which they pretty much achieved because
they did a good job.
Putin is pleased, very pleased with that.
Wow. Well, is he close to Putin, or is it just a convenience arrangement?
So, well, it's both, right? He's one of the closest allies of Putin's. They go back approximately 20 years. Putin trusts Prigozhin to the point where he, you know, and Putin is paranoid about poisoning, right? Being poisoned, right? Surprise, surprise, the guy who authorizes routinely, you know, poisonings and other types of assassinations and murders. So, but Putin has allowed Prigozhin to serve him food and drink. So, but in terms of convenience, everybody who is in Putin's immediate circle has to be convenient to him. There are just no random people there. You know, it has to be somebody whom he trusts, somebody who is extremely loyal to him, and somebody who performs a very specific, you know, function for him, for Mother Russia, you know, people like that.
Okay. Well, you've given us some good insight. We want to find out when we come back from this break a little bit about who Sergei Shoigu is. And one of the other players in this whole drama that's unfolding. So we'll be right back in 1 minute with our fascinating guests.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, and we're back with Common Sense. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have Rebecca Koffler with us. She's an expert on all things Russia, was an operative. And I want to ask you, as we're trying to put this map together of who's important and what's going on in Russia, Sergei Shoigu, who is he and how does he fit into all of this?
So Shoigu is the current Minister of Defense in charge of the Russian Armed Forces. And he was also close to Putin. Putin appointed him to be the defense minister because he trusted Shoigu's judgment. But Shoigu was never a military man. He basically was in charge of some agencies that is similar to our FEMA, right? But it's not exactly the same because the Russians use domestic security and environmental security kind of like is a one mission. Why? It's because the Russians are very, paranoid because environmental disasters could be used deliberately by an adversary to attack. This is kind of what happened, with the Nord Stream pipeline, the Russians, are behind that kind of sabotage operations with the Kakhovka Dam, right? They're constantly, so that's the doctrine. But he was never a military man until Putin gave him that rank. You remember, Putin couldn't do anything in Russia. You know, he can orchestrate the change of the constitution to extend his own presidency, which is exactly what he did. So Shoigu was not popular exactly with the Russian military because he's not a military guy. But Putin trusted him. You see a lot of pictures of Putin and Shoigu fishing, you know, bare-chested. They spent a lot of time together. So right now, my analysis is that Putin's faith and trust in Shoigu has diminished, but he needs some sort of pretext to do a change because this would be a big deal, right, in the middle of an active conflict, the so-called special operations, as they call it, in Ukraine, to change the top leadership of the Russian military. And that is potentially another reason, there are many other reasons why I assess that the whole Putin-Prigozhin fallout and the so-called coup is a false flag operation, but that switching out some of the leadership and purging people that are potentially not exactly loyal to Putin, that those are also part of the goals that Putin had in mind.
Okay, what does this whole rebellion that was precipitated, is that weaken Putin, or was it part of his plan to gain more attention? And I don't really trust him. He seems to be a pretty clever guy, and he was a KGB agent, and he knows how to manipulate opinion.
Exactly. So it's exactly the opposite. Putin is not weakened right now. Here's why. So the Russians right now have rallied behind Putin because from their perspective, Putin has saved Mother Russia from regime collapse. The Russian newspapers are screaming with headlines, you know, that Putin chased away the traitors. Now Russia needs to galvanize support behind Putin. And what's very revealing is shortly after Prigozhin supposedly changed his mind, just like that, you know, having come within just a few kilometers from Moscow, he decided, oh, you know, never mind, I'm going to go back. So Putin made this speech in which he invoked, you know, primordial fears for the Russians, and that's the fear of the 1917 revolution, because he said the West is behind this. He basically implied that the whole coup was orchestrated by the West, and so if we don't all unite, if we don't come as one behind, you know, the Kremlin, the leadership, the country is going to collapse. And so the other narrative that he threw out there, that the Russians are very, very favorably predisposed to, is that the West is trying to destroy Russia, is trying to orchestrate the strategic defeat of Russia. And of course, the Russians believe it because President Biden himself said that this man cannot remain in power. You know, he's a war criminal. Lloyd Austin, our Secretary of Defense, said that U.S. will provide assistance to Ukraine indefinitely as long as needed because we need to defeat Russia. To weaken Russia militarily and economically. So, of course, the Russians believe that. And so the support for Putin has now increased, although the Western commentariat, so to speak, is saying Putin is weakened. You know, well, that was another goal for Putin, is to spread the narrative that he's weak. Because if he's weak, why do we need to keep pumping in billions of dollars into Ukraine? You know, he can't possibly win the war. He can't possibly attack NATO. You know, let just Zelensky, you know, take care of the son of a bitch, pardon my French, So Zelensky could take care of Putin, right? Why does he need all this weaponry if Putin is weak, right? Or is Russia going to collapse? So that's another line of deception.
Well, aren't we kind of playing into Putin's hands with the way that we're handling the war, in the sense that we just keep pumping money in there? But because of all the oil money he can get, because of the way that we foolishly use our energy policies, he could go on basically forever and bleed us to death in terms of money and military equipment until we get to a point where we're so weakened that China can have their way. Is he clever enough to sort of figure that out?
Oh, he already figured it out. Yeah, Putin is evil. Putin is evil, but he's a highly intelligent man, and he's a strategist. Because remember, judo is his craft. That's how he sort of he was almost on the criminal path when he was a teenager, but then he met his judo teacher, and that teacher completely transformed him into, you know, into a different type of person. And so he thinks several steps ahead. And one of the precepts of judo is to use the strength of your opponent against him, right? And that's, Putin is always on the lookout for weakness. So, so yes, the idea is to bleed Ukraine and, you know, hope that the United States will figure out that the sanctions are not going to work, that eventually it's going to deplete its own resources. So this war is unwinnable for Ukraine. It's mathematically impossible for Ukraine to achieve victory the way that victory is defined by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Why is that? It's because the strategy that Putin's using is the same strategy the Soviets used in World War II, and that is the strategy of attrition. The Russians lost more than 20 million people in World War II, and they are prepared to lose a lot in this war. And with the population of Russia being 143 million people, and Ukrainian population being 43 million people. So the math just doesn't add up, right? So Russia holds tremendous advantage. Putin has so many more, you know, much more flesh to throw into the meat grinder, right? And so China is actually the biggest winner, as you just mentioned, China, the biggest winner in this conflict, because, you know, China is seeing two of its top geopolitical adversaries, Russia and the United States, are fighting a proxy war and depleting their respective combat arsenals. So wargaming has shown, Dr. Carson, and as you said, I'm a former DIA intelligence officer. DIA is a military counterpart to CIA, so we routinely conduct war games. We've done it with respect to Russia, China. So wargaming has shown that the U.S. would run out of long-range missiles and some other military hardware in a matter of days. Okay, we are already in the hole as far as our javelins, our stingers, you know, our production capacity is just incapable to replenish that arsenal. Our 155-millimeter ammo is like about 5 years. Like we are basically in the hole. We can't replenish it. And so China obviously is getting ready to secure control of Taiwan in the next couple of years. And it's just really plays to their advantage, the fact that we are supporting this war.
Well, what's the relationship between Lukashenko and Prigozhin?
Well, I'll start off, if I may, with the relationship between Lukashenko and Putin. Those are two their allies. Belarus is basically a client state or even a vassal state of Russia's. They're even part of the Union, the Union State, they call it, Russia and Belarus. Belarus is highly dependent on Russia for many things, economically and militarily. It has always been. It never sort of shattered its Soviet past. And so Lukashenko basically does what Putin wants him to do. And Prigozhin and Lukashenko have no relationship, effectively. So Lukashenko just stepped in to do what Putin wanted him to do. And that is, so my intelligence assessment, I think I've written about it recently, is that another goal was to open second front in Belarus. So that's why Prigozhin is there. Like miraculously, right? Lukashenko said, you know, come on in. And remember, Putin stated just a few years ago that treason is the worst crime in the world. And so somehow, you know, Lukashenko just didn't give Prigozhin to Putin. He gave him refuge. That's, you know, implausible. So what we have right now is Prigozhin and his Wagner team in Belarus. And European satellite imagery has confirmed that the military base, the abandoned military base that Prigozhin offered to the Wagner group, is now building up. Like, it's expanding. So we've got those guys. We've got tactical nukes that Lukashenko just received from Putin. And they are in a strategic position to threaten not only Ukraine to come, you know, from a different side, but also to directly threaten NATO, because Belarus borders Latvia, Lithuania. So Putin effectively, through this ruse, right, this false flag operation, this deception, Putin has set up a combat-ready strategic reserve to conduct a blitzkrieg potentially type of operation, another front, using his best fighting force. Because the Wagner group, remember, they are former convicts. They are battle-hardened. These people are ruthless, and they conduct operations, as we talked in the beginning, all over the world. So they're very experienced relative to what Prigozhin said, the children that Sergei Shoigu is hiring, you know, the 18-year-olds who are not trained, and they just being thrown into the meat grinder. The Wagner, they call themselves musicians. Wagner, just a little side note, the reason it's called Wagner is because Prigozhin's favorite composer is Richard Wagner. Right. And so that's why they call
it that.
Yeah, okay. That's why it's called Wagner. And they call themselves musicanti, in Russian. It's musicians. They even have it on their patches.
Now, in this whole Belarus situation, I understand that some tactical nuclear weapons have been moved there as well. Not strategic nuclear weapons, but tactical nuclear weapons. And if they use those on the battlefield, seems like things will be over pretty quickly. Do you think they might actually use them?
I do. There's a special doctrine, like with the Russian war fighting strategy, like everything is explained. Like I can trace, you know, everything that's going on to like a very specific doctrine. Like I said, you know, the whole ruse, the deception is reflexive control, right? So the nuclear doctrine is called escalate to de-escalate. It was specifically designed against the U.S. and NATO to deter conflict or to win conflict on terms favorable to Russia. How so? Well, first, why? The Russians developed that doctrine because they fear their conventional inferiority relative to the United States. The U.S. has the best warfighting force in military history, right? We do things, you know, quickly. you know, we put iron on target with precision of a brain surgeon, something you're familiar with, right? We minimize casualties, like tactical brilliance, but we may be strategically incompetent, right? We get mired, you know, let's say in Afghanistan for 20 years and we withdrew, and then the same people, basically the Taliban, are ruling the place, but tactically we're brilliant. And so the Russians are afraid of that. So they developed this doctrine where they would detonate a low-yield tactical nuclear warhead on the battlefield, potentially, like, in this case, it's either in Ukraine or even it could be on the Russian territory that borders Ukraine, as demonstration that they're prepared to go all the way into the strategic realm. And the goal is to make us stop support that war. So that's what escalate to de-escalate is. It's low yield. It's under 1 kiloton. The Russians designed for that specific purpose a very flexible arsenal of tactical warheads. We don't have those types of things because we don't believe that nuclear weapons are actually usable. See, Putin understands that that we kind of like psychologically are not prepared and our population is not prepared to ever use, even though we're the ones who use them in Japan. But those bombs were 15, the little boy and fat man that we dropped at Nagasaki and Hiroshima were 15 and 20 kiloton. Well, the Russians believe that if they can just reduce the power, right, the fallout will be smaller. And they view it as a battlefield weapon, right? And while we were viewed as a psychological right. weapon. So the Russians right. hold now 1-to-10 ratio advantage in tactical nukes. We have 200, they have 2,000. And that's wow. why they believe that they could compel us to either stop supporting the war, or they can actually win. If it ever goes into the nuclear realm, they're prepared to win. And that's why my book is called Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America. But the thing is, the Rush, just to explain, the Russians are not planning to, you know, come to the United States, invade us or anything else. The strategy was developed to have us back off, to just compel us not to mess in Get what they perceive as their, you know, right. as their backyard, as their, what they call a strategic security perimeter, of which Ukraine is part of. So they don't want to recreate in NATO, because NATO is an adversarial alliance to Russia.
Yeah. Well, that gives us a lot to think about. And we'll be back in one moment with our fascinating guest who has a ton of information. If you're listening to this podcast, you're going to be well equipped to know what's going on. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with more Common Sense. We have Rebecca Koffler, and now she's written the book, Putin's Playbook, telling how his plans are particularly for America. And you wrote that book before Russia invaded Ukraine, but obviously it's still relevant, probably even prescient. Why was it important to write that book when you did back in 2021, well before Ukraine was invaded?
I always thought that this is what Putin was going to do. In fact, I predicted this this conflict, and I wrote about it in my book. The reason I wrote the book, Dr. Carson, is because basically I was warning within the intelligence community. I was warning about the Russian threat for several years, right? In fact, I briefed scores and scores of military commanders, the Obama's White House, National Security Council, some congressional staffers, the several combatant commands, STRATCOM, Strategic Command, which is actually in charge of our U.S. Nuclear weapons, Northern Command that protects the homeland from missile strikes, the same command that just recently missed the Chinese spy balloon. So I briefed NATO, actually, in Brussels, all of the military leaders and NATO ministers of 28 countries. It was back then, it was 28. I briefed them in September 2013 in the run-up to Putin's invasion of Crimea. No one wanted to lift a finger. No one. In fact, President Obama pursued a reset policy with Putin. He wanted to be friends with Putin, even though, you know, it's impossible, right? Curiously, actually, every U.S. president wanted to become friends with Putin, right? Putin is the same man. He was the same, you know, KGB operative, you know, cunning, deceitful. But he was able to, you know, to outplay pretty much most U.S. president except one. Eventually, I was actually dismissed from the intelligence community because my analysis did not align with the agenda of the senior leadership. Remember, they were after the so-called Trump-Russia collusion, right? Which was a complete hoax. And so my analysis did not align with that. And yes, and oh, in fact, not only that, I was told I was delusional that Putin would decide to, yes, they told me I had a mental illness if I think that Putin is going to invade another country, no. And so eventually I just wrote this book, and in my book I disclosed before anyone else was talking about it that the Trump-Russia collusion was fake. It didn't exist. The Russians outplayed the FBI. They effectively served up, you know, this whole disinformation that the Christopher Steele, you know, picked up. Danchenko was basically affiliated with Russian intelligence. And so I wrote all of this in my book. And guess what? The U.S. government, DIA, my former agency, DIA and CIA, tried to sabotage the publication of my book because I exposed basically all the incompetence, you know, that exists in the intelligence community as far as Putin's mindset, you know, Russia in general. I exposed the whole Russia-Trump collusion. And if I may, I want to show your readers, your listeners rather, what they did, what the DIA and so this is just one example, right? This chapter is on the cyber weapons and Putin's cyber strategy. But a very revealing one is the chapter on election interference. It's part of another doctrine called active measures. So I'll start, if you allow me, every chapter I start with a quote from either Putin or some military strategists like Sun Tzu. So this is how the chapter begins on subversion. All warfare, and it's very appropriate right now to talk about it because of what just happened with this fake coup, right? Sun Tzu said, all warfare is based primarily on deception of an enemy. Fighting on a battlefield is the most primitive way of making war. There's no art higher than to destroy your enemy without a fight, by subverting anything of value in the enemy's country. And then I've proceeded to talk about the what happened in 2016, and this is what DIA do. This is all blacked out at the beginning.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's incredible. But this is, so what I have discovered that there are similarities actually between, the Russian government and the deep state, right? They censorship is a tool that authoritarians use, to prohibit free speech, to stifle, it's the same people who told us that, oh, COVID came, from whatever naturally occurring, right? Well, we found out later that it came from a lab. They told us Trump colluded with Putin. Well, the Trump campaign was scrambling. They didn't have any contacts within the Putin government when they actually won, right? And so this is why I wrote this book. I wanted the American people to know, first, what the real Russian threat is, Putin's mindset, but also I described my story that reveals the corruption within the U.S. government. And my story did not make the headlines like the whistleblowers right now, good for them, that they're from the FBI, but there are like hundreds of us, people like that, who, if your analysis doesn't align with the party line, with the group thing, you will be punished. You'll be destroyed.
Well, we can see those influences that have affected this country significantly. Earlier this week, my American Cornerstone Facebook page was canceled because they said it didn't conform with community standards. And I happened to be doing some interviews when I found that out, so I just mentioned it on a couple of stations. And literally within 8 hours, they said, oh, it was a mistake. We just made a mistake. Now we're putting it back up. But, they tried it. And it's funny how all the mistakes only happen in one direction.
Excellent observation. So I always wondered, Dr. Carson, who is the community? who are those those people? Are they Soviet, type KGB, apparatchiks, the Bolsheviks, yes, the American Bolsheviks that are doing this stuff? When you find out, please let me know, sir.
When we look at the Soviet Union and we look at people like Stalin and some of their philosophies, and one of the things that Stalin said, which really stuck with me, he says, it doesn't matter how the people vote. It matters who counts the votes.
now you educated me about something too. I have another one. I don't remember which Soviet leader said to a U.S. leader. He said the problem with democracy and democratic elections is that you never know who's going to win.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, between Stalin, Lenin, and Khrushchev, if you go and read some of the stuff they said, it should give you chills. And to recognize that some of that influence is being transmitted to our country now, and people don't even know it, and they don't really realize that they're being manipulated. That we, the American people, are not each other's enemies, but they're manipulating us and putting us in positions so that we actually accomplish their goals. And that's where the term useful idiots comes from. We're destroying ourselves without even recognizing it. And it's all being orchestrated. And, we're working very hard to try to help people to see what's going on. And you've been a tremendous help in doing that. You're just an incredible person. And we're so thankful that you have taken it upon yourself, knowing that you would be persecuted, to reveal the truth, because that's what it's all about. And do you have any parting words for our audience?
The parting words is that we need to unite, like you said, because right now we're like fighting, you know, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals. We need to unite and see the truth. And I think I really appreciate, you know, that your podcast is called Common Sense, right? Because you can't beat common sense. Like, common sense applies to everybody, Republicans, everybody. So if people could just open their eyes and start thinking clearly, and then they will see the truth. So.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. I hope people will get you, but where can people get your book?
Anywhere, really, on Amazon or at any store. Any store, just Google it, Rebecca Kofler, Putin's Playbook, and you'll get it. And if anybody actually wants this book signed, you can send me an email, and I will send a signature plate with a special message, and it works like a sticker. You basically stick it, and you have a signed book.
And the email address that they should use?
It's rk@rebeccakofler.com. Just Google my name. I've done my, I'm on all social media, Twitter, Getter, Truth Social, so I'm easily discoverable.
All right. Well, thank you for being a patriot. Your courage is exemplary, and we appreciate you coming on the program today.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dr. Carson, for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You enjoyed that segment with Rebecca Kofler. You know, it's very interesting to see how the Russian leader, Putin, who is a KGB agent, is actually very, very clever. And they know how to manipulate things. There's no question that they are doing a lot of manipulation in our country. What we have to do is be smart enough to realize that we're being manipulated. Don't fall for all this stuff. Because if we do, then Khrushchev's prediction will come true when he said to Eisenhower, your grandchildren's children will live under communism and we won't have to fire one shot. We're moving rapidly in that direction. Think about the incredible things that happened in this country and the incredible opportunities that it has provided, not only for this country, but for the rest of the world. We are a gift and a beacon for the world. We can't allow ourselves to be manipulated into destruction. We can do this. This is America, the can-do country, not the what-can-you-do-for-me country. And the prescription for this week, talk about who we are to your friends and your families and pray for our country and pray for our leaders. because we've got a lot on our plate right now. And if we don't do the right things, we're going to be destroyed like so many other pinnacle nations that have come before us. The warnings are all there. We just need to heed those warnings. And that's it for this week. And I want you to make sure you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you get your broadcast and your podcast. And make sure you rate us, review us, tell your friends about us. We have got to spread common sense. We've got to make it common again. And remember the cornerstone principles: faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.